And from the KTO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Two bills that would tighten regulations on the group of chemicals known as PFAS are stalled in committee as Alaska's legislative session draws to a close. As Claire Schempel reports for KTOO, that would send lawmakers back to square one and leave clean water advocates high and dry for another year.
PFAS have been linked to cancer, liver damage, fertility problems, asthma, and thyroid disease. Activists rallied for the bills at the Capitol last week.
We're here for a call to action.
Pamela Miller leads Alaska Community Action on Toxics. She's supporting the bills, introduced by Representative Sarah Hannan and Senator Jesse Keel, that would also limit the use of firefighting foams that are known to contain PFAS.
So we think it's high time that these bills be passed to protect our Alaska communities. There are communities from the North Slope of Alaska all the way down through Southeast that have contaminated drinking water because of this dispersive use of these chemicals in industrial firefighting foams used on airports and on military bases.
Sarah Thomas joined the rally to advocate for her hometown of Utqiagvik, where firefighting foams at a naval base contaminated drinking water at Immokalee Lake.
I know too many people who have passed away from cancer in their 20s. People who have been on thyroid medication since their teens, things that are not normal, and we're seeing way too much of it.
Those foams were also the source of contamination around a state-run airport in Gustavus, where the state supplies bottled water to residents like Joanne Lesh, whose wells have been poisoned with toxic runoff.
Okay, I'm the face of it. I'm the face of PFAS.
Lesh and her husband ran an inn at what's basically the gateway to the Glacier Bay National Park, where they served patrons fresh food from their garden. She said discovering the water and soil on their property is contaminated was devastating.
We moved there for everything to be pristine, the organic garden, and everything is now polluted.
Senator Jesse Keel represents Gustavus. He says the state's regulatory agency, the Department of Environmental Conservation, doesn't do enough to protect Alaskans from PFAS.
The problem of these PFAS chemicals, these are forever chemicals. They don't break down, they don't go away, and they are in Alaskans' drinking water.
He says his bill would do the bare minimum to protect Alaskans' drinking water and ensure the toxic firefighting foams aren't widely used in the state any longer. He and Representative Sarah Hannan say there's money to enact their legislation in a federal infrastructure bill. The state's Department of Environmental Conservation raised a number of concerns about the legislation. DEC once regulated PFAS to higher standards, but rolled them back following political pressure. Tiffany Larson directs the Division of Spill Prevention and Response at DEC. She says the state defers to the federal government, specifically the Environmental Protection Agency, on the question of PFAS.
DEC is saying we will follow EPA when they come out with new drinking water standards. Because they have the resources and have been able to invest that sort of effort into that.
But Representative Hannan says the federal government isn't moving fast enough.
We should not and cannot afford for our health to wait for the federal action to clean this up.
It would be difficult to pass the bills in the remaining hours of the legislative session. And if they don't pass, legislators say they will try again next year. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
The cruise industry in several Pacific Northwest ports announced today that they are working together to try and eventually eliminate greenhouse gas emissions from cruising in the region. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Lots of partners are signing on to the effort to develop the world's first green corridor for cruise ships. It's a super early first step toward a goal they want to achieve by 2050. The idea is to work together to develop technology, infrastructure, and best practices so that cruises no longer pump greenhouse gases into the atmosphere that cause global climate change. Partners so far include the City and Borough of Juneau, the port authorities in Seattle and Vancouver, international shipping organizations, and the operators of almost every big cruise ship in the region. Jesse Fanistock is with the Global Maritime Forum, which works on maritime sustainability issues.
When Port of Seattle first reached out to us about this concept, we were very excited and quite frankly, a little surprised. We didn't anticipate, as we were working on this, that cruise would be one of the first mover segments on green corridors. But we very much agree, having looked at the concept presented, that this is a really promising opportunity. And if it can be done anywhere, it's here in the Pacific Northwest.
A single cruise ship can burn thousands of gallons of fuel a day. Kelly Craighead leads the industry group Cruise Lines International Association. She says CLIA and many other stakeholders want the United Nations International Maritime Organization to develop a massive research and development fund.
Carnival Corporation, Royal Caribbean Group, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, MSC Cruises, and many others are willing to invest deeply into these types of collaborative R&D funds because it is going to take that level of investment to be able to develop the technologies that don't currently exist.
Jan Swartz is the president of the Holland America Group, a subsidiary of Carnival. She says her company already has its own R&D team working on new technologies to make cruise ships more efficient and to use alternatives to fossil fuels.
We're really excited to bring to the table our learnings to share with others in the maritime sector and seek similar ideas from them so that we can accelerate our collective progress faster.
The structure and scope of how the partners will work on this green corridor still has to be worked out. An official with the Port of Seattle says he expects to get all of the partners together in the next 30 days to begin work on a charter for the group. Alexandra Pierce is Juneau's tourism manager. She says this partnership can be a model for the rest of the world.
We were the first port in the world to have shore power, and I think it's really appropriate that we lead the world in this too and continue to push the envelope on environmental policy and practice in the cruise world. Someone somewhere needs to figure out what the roadmap looks like to get the industry there.
Green Corridor partners announced their collaboration during a conference on ports and harbors in Vancouver. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And in other news, demonstrators gathered in Ketchikan's cruise ship docks on Saturday to show support for abortion rights. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, it was one of hundreds of demonstrations held across the country in protest of a leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion that would overturn the landmark case Roe v. Wade.
Now we're here!
Get on those corners as well.
Get on those corners too! Interrupt traffic! We are not going anywhere!
Danny Marcano is leading a few dozen protesters on a march up and down Ketchikan's busiest street. She says she was devastated to hear that the Supreme Court could overturn Roe v. Wade.
If individuals in power feel as though they have the right to our bodies, we should be able to stand up and say, this is our body. This is our right. And all of a sudden, we're rolling back the clock. It's not acceptable.
Across the street, Hope Call says she was dismayed to hear that the nearly 50-year-old precedent guaranteeing a constitutional right to abortion was in jeopardy.
I was honestly just disgusted and kind of in shock.
She says she worries that in a post-Roe world, abortion would be out of reach for those who can't afford to travel to a state or country where it's legal. She says already, Ketchikan residents who need an abortion have to travel hundreds of miles to the closest clinic in Juneau.
It's the poor women who are raped and who are not having the resources to have safe, protected sex. They are the people who need abortions, who need access to them, and they're being denied.
If Roe v. Wade is overturned, it likely won't have an immediate impact in Alaska. It's one of 22 states where the right to an abortion would be protected by state law. In Alaska's case, the state Supreme Court says the state constitution's right to privacy protects the right to an abortion. But that could change. Abortion opponents are asking voters to greenlight a constitutional convention on this November's ballot. Marcano, who led the march, says it's important to come out and show support for reproductive rights.
I'm just so happy to see people here today, and I hope that our country continues to make better choices and that our town continues to make better choices, and I really do want to see women stand up and fight for their right.
A final decision on whether the Supreme Court will overturn Roe v. Wade is expected in June. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And today, the U.S. Coast Guard searched for a 40-year-old woman who reportedly fell off a Celebrity Solstice cruise ship early Tuesday morning near Eldred Rock in the Upper Lynn Canal. Petty Officer Allie Blackburn says the captain of the ship reported the incident after a cruise ship camera showed the woman going overboard at approximately 3 a.m. Tuesday as the ship sailed from Juneau to Skagway. Blackburn says mariners should contact the Coast Guard if they see anyone in the Eldred Rock area, about 20 miles south of Haines. The missing woman has not been publicly identified. The Coast Guard suspended the search this afternoon after searching for 9 hours. The Celebrity Solstice is operated by Celebrity Cruises and can carry up to 3,400 passengers and 1,000 crew. It was on the fourth day of a week-long round-trip cruise from Seattle. And as for the weather, it's 54 degrees and cloudy. Some scattered showers are still possible, but the rest of the night is expected to be drier. The low tonight is 38 degrees. Sunset is at 9:30. 12:23 p.m. tonight. We're now getting nearly 17 hours of daylight each day. And we no longer get true night time in Juno and won't again until mid-August. And this is the last week of astronomical twilight, which is the first stage of dawn and the last stage of dusk. This is KTOO.